Hey, everybody. Welcome to It's Just Bodybuilding, episode 34, with, of course, myself, Ron Partlow, and Dusty Hanshaw. Today, we got Coach's Corner, listener questions on It's Just Bodybuilding. Dusty, what's going on?
Just living the dream, man. It's been fun around here, believe it or not. Gray Toque Day. I wonder if everyone else knows.
Well, I'm wondering if they think we talked, because we didn't. It's just funny.
It's kind of like that question that you asked me the other day, and then I answered, and you were like, that is exactly what I said. And it wasn't even like an A, B, or C. It was, think of any color in the world. I was like, magenta.
Complicated question. a complicated question, and it was exactly the same answer. Yeah, man, it's funny. A lot of people say, hey, do you and Dusty like decided red and black day, or we're going to go blue shirt day or something? Because we've like nailed it so many times, you know?
Simple minds think alike. I mean, great minds yes. think alike.
I think it's less planning, and it's more the fact that you and I basically only wear black, gray, and red and
it's
blue.
It's a safe bet. Yeah.
So it's like
the odds are actually not that. It's like 20% that we're going to hit it. I mean,
yeah, you know, for like 6 years, I had a closet full of Gasp. So I was like either army green or navy blue or black or gray.
Which Gasp pants should I wear? Well, are we going to a wedding or are we going to McDonald's?
Right. Are we dressing up? You know,
yeah.
Are we wearing
that's obviously the black ones.
Are we wearing the good white Adidas or are we wearing Chucks? You know, that's how I judge whether I'm dressed up or not. You know,
mine's the color of Chucks. Cause you know, I don't wear anything else.
Right. Right.
I just had that the other day. Somebody goes, what shoes are you wearing? I was like, you mean what color?
Yeah. I forget. You don't even have another pair of anything.
Fuck that. I mean, black and white is a black tie affair.
Right. I've got the white superstars and they're like clean. And if I'm like dressing up, I'll put those on, you know. It's got to be really nice out though. Can't be raining.
Oh, fuck no. So then you never have a problem here. You'd be screwed there.
So how's the, I'm tempted to not mention anything, but we kind of have to.
Well, all we have to mention is what we're doing. I'm with you 100% because I'm tired of.
Yeah.
Fuck, I'm not an expert. So who cares?
Let's give people a break on the thing we're not going to mention. But what are you up to?
But how life has been affected by it has been interesting. So as we discussed, I've been training alone in the gym.
Right.
Which, by the way, I've actually gotten hate for that. Like someone actually commented on one of my videos yesterday that it's the opposite of motivating that I – and he literally put Hollywood Dusty Hanshaw gets to train in gyms that aren't open for other people. And I'm like – well, it's not because I'm fancy. It's because I know everyone.
Well, it's just we worked out a deal. I mean,
yeah. It's just a very weird. I'm like, so I'd be more impressed if I was working my ass off in my garage. I don't have any equipment in my garage.
you're one of the fortunate who found a way, you know, but this is the everyone must suffer equally attitude. I mean, in a house with a spouse that kind of abuses them. And they're being forced to stay home with them. And other people are locked down in a penthouse suite.
Did Chris send you that?
That's just not fair, but that's just how life is. You know, everyone's locked down.
Did Aceto send you that video? It's this black guy, middle-aged, and he's sitting there. He's looking at the camera. And it says, sir, would you rather be locked down with A, your wife and children, or B? And he goes, B. Like, doesn't even wait for it to what it is. It could have been alligators, lions.
Right. B. Could have been in a prison. Yeah.
The answer was B. And it was funny because what you said is true. So I answered that kid. I don't usually answer the hate ones, but I'm like, if you had that, it would be an option. And what's funny is if I didn't have that and I didn't have a gym, I would have called and ordered new equipment like I was buying a gym.
Because you would have filled your gym with a few PPEs so you could still, you filled your garage or whatever, so you could still train or whatever the fuck you would have had to rent.
And then I would have been in trouble because you know, because I had the money to do. That's what I love about it. Is like you're fucked no matter what. If I'd have dropped $20,000 on equipment, they'd be like, "Well, it must be nice to have $20,000."
Yeah, and and to be fair, also you're not actually locked down.
No,
they're not.
No.
So that would be the difference. I know we use the term lockdown, but and you know, technically being locked down means you're not supposed to leave your house at all, and there's like all those civic ordinances and all that stuff. But you don't. You're still allowed to drive to the restaurants
open and things like that. And the things that you're supposed to do, I'm doing. I mean, I kind of laugh because I had a few people kind of like, "Well, what about this?" And I'm like, I literally see within 10 feet of me, 3 people a day.
I'm 2 people max.
You know, because it's like, one. And remember, no one lives with me. So it's you know, so it's like, that's good. If I walk out of my condo and see my neighbor, there's one. My training partner and my video guy. That's it.
Yeah.
That's my people. Because I don't like, I am one thing. Cause I am very clear on, I don't want to be out. Like I do buy, I'm one of those people that goes to the grocery store every single day. Usually.
Right.
Now I go once a week. I go nowhere else the rest of the week. Like I know everything I need exactly. And in fact, this week, a friend of mine, she hit me up and she's like, "I'm going to Restaurant Depot. Do you want chicken?" I'm like, done. Okay, one cool. less place, you know what I mean? And I have one of those box freezers, so I got 30 pounds of that coming, and I already have some over. So it's like, it just made me laugh at the, and again, that's the minority, but it was just funny that anyone's brain works that way to me.
You know, there are people who, you know, like I was reading some of the Twitter stuff about, you know, people calling the police on their neighbor because he's doing chin-ups in the backyard. And the cops actually come and they're like, "We had like some complaints about you weightlifting." And he's like, "Yeah, I'm doing chin-ups on that bar." And the cops were like, "We're really sorry. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. You're in your backyard. It's you and your
by
son.
By yourself."
Because she was saying they're too close together. But it's him and his son. They live together and they're in the same household. So like people are losing their fucking minds. You know, they're
right.
You know, like I was saying, we have to have more compassion too, because okay, let's say you call the cops on that guy for doing chin-ups in the alley. Let's say it's not his property and he's in the alley doing chin-ups. Okay, you call the cops on him because he's technically supposed to be at home. Maybe that guy was about to blow his fucking brains out and he thought, you know what, I'm going to go do some chin-ups instead. Or maybe he was about to drink again for the first time in 3 years, but he went outside and did some chin-ups. You know, we have to have a little bit of compassion. You know, we can't be calling the police on people like that. You know, not like that's, it's not, we're not at a stay home here in Vancouver either. So, but we can't be for that. And then, you know, if you look at some of the public spaces that are still crowded.
Yeah.
And like, do you think come on, like we have to be reasonable. Minimize your contact as much as humanly possible. You know, I see Emily. You know, and I see my training partner. Yeah. And that's it. So, yeah.
She's like, "God, he's still here. He's usually at the gym."
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. As soon as the gym closed, my personal contact dropped by about 95%.
Yeah. Cause you're like me. I mean, that's literally how it works for me. Cause I only see people at the gym. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I'm fortunate work has been busy, so I'm sitting on my computer all day. So yeah, I mean, like
I don't see my business partners. It's funny. Yeah. We all go to the gym at different times.
Right. Yeah. Because you guys are following, and that's the other thing, is you're following the rules. And that's what I dig, is even at the, you know, I'm literally the only person with a key to this gym. And I've seen the owner there once.
Right.
Because he knows, he goes, "What time do you train?" And I told him, and he was like, "All right, cool." And he kind of just doesn't go around then. Like we're trying to stay within it, but man, it's been good. One of the subjects that people are hammering me on that I wanted to brave was shows. Everyone wants to know our opinions of winter shows coming, our shows coming, and why. And obviously we're guessing, but you know, I've definitely got my opinions that I've been working with my clients on. So what's yours?
Yeah. Well, I still have, there's a couple people that have been prepping for a show that's at the very, very, very end of June. Mm-hmm. And they're looking good and their preps are going well. That's not, they're not, you know, suffering or anything. It's like everything's going well. Mm-hmm. And they're still hopeful because that show has not been canceled. Right. We're skeptical that it's going to occur. We've talked about it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are other shows in July and onward in the year that they could fall back and hit. So they're still prepping for those shows. I think if anything's going to happen to those shows, we'll find out really soon.
Right. But I think so, now we're the cities and things are more the reason, the hotels that they're at. So it's a little easier to forecast when something may or may not be happening.
Right. You know, so we're just going to see. I mean, people are asking me, one of my questions was, do you think there's going to be an Olympia?
Right. Here's the deal. I mean, first off, with clients and things, I'm doing 50-50. My clients are extremely advanced. So I've got four guys that were getting ready for junior nationals.
Okay.
And they're all contenders. And that show was canceled. It's in June. And I'm looking at all of them as guys who aren't quite ready to turn pro, but are right there. So sat down with each of them. They're all kind of in that same boat. And I was like, look, I want to pause, start coming up, but not like, I'm usually someone who says go from prep to off season as soon as possible. No, I don't revert, get fucking big quickly. Mm-hmm. We're going slow, building it back up, and we'll run for 2 months where they're at an excess of calories, where they're growing, where they're staying tight, but their strength is going up. And then we'll look in June, you know, late June, and see, okay, what's coming. Because I do think there's a chance that all these shows are getting pushed back. I think what you're going to have is five pro qualifiers in a 2 month time period.
Yeah, that's possible.
You know, because down here, they're all gapped, July, August, mm-hmm. these things. And I'm just telling a lot of them, look, we're going to run towards it. And then decide in 2 months, because I don't want to waste time either. And then other people, if they're newer to the sport, those ones I'm like, hey, well, you were heavy to begin with. So let's just keep coming down like the show's there. Straight up, I don't think your show's happening.
Right.
But let's keep coming down, and in 2 weeks, we'll see where you're at, because you're not in a position where I want to start bringing you up anyhow. So just keep going. And then the big thing that a lot of people are asking is me. What do I want to do? And I think that this is kind of a factor. The reason I would touch all these different bases, it's where you're at in your career too. Mm-hmm. My career is like a blink from over, by choice, you know, like I don't want to walk around at 320 pounds, for many more years, you know?
Right.
So it was kind of a sticky spot for me, because I had decided I wanted to prep for this show no matter what. And as I got into it, I'm like, I'll be honest, I don't think the Vancouver Pro is happening, and it's in July. I just think you got to get over borders. You've got a lot of people haven't been training. So, you know, as a promoter, as a businessman, I'd be looking going, how much money am I not going to make? AKA, how much am I going to lose trying to put this show on? Because I'm not going to have my usual base. And how many people are going to be afraid to come to that event, even if I'm allowed that early?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So with that, I kind of find myself in a spot where I was like, do I really want to head down for 14 weeks? I mean, DEXA scan. I had a DEXA scan at 18 weeks out, and at 294, I was 10%. So I already know what it looked like, and I haven't had a true off season in a long time. So after kicking it around for a bit, my training partner was just like, grow. Go back the other way. Forget this whole season, because chances are there isn't one. And if it is, truthfully, for someone like me, think of how stacked those shows will be late in the year. I mean, you're going to be talking about, you know, my goal, my crazy goal is to be in a top five at a show. There's going to be 10 guys that are Arnold quality doing every show.
Right, right. Know? Well, so, it's definitely going to be interesting. There's also the possibility there might not be a lot of guys in some of the shows. I mean, I know, like, you know, guys are losing jobs and work and money's tight. And, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, their sponsors, you know, don't cover all their bills. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, not everyone has a contract, and, you know, the guys that aren't, you know, sponsored well, probably might not be traveling doing many shows.
Right. Well, yeah, the expenses are out of control, and like, you know, and then you've got the ones that don't have access to a gym. Which it's interesting to me, but how many of pretty much every one of my friends still has full gym?
Oh, it's like, yeah.
They're not talking about it, but they're all, I mean, these are top guys or very well sponsored or, you know, or just super, super nice guys who've been in the same area long enough that they're being taken care of. But yeah, so for me, it's tricky. So all I did was switch gears, this last week, and I'm still going slow back up, just cause I gotta get my metabolism to where I'm starving. Right. But, you know, and now all I did was with the marketing stuff is now we hadn't even filmed our first in the kitchen kind of thing. So this week we're going to start filming that of going up.
Right.
You know, okay. And the first set of pictures, instead of being, you know, heading down, it's going to be going up, you know, because now I mean, I'm 288 or something like that. So I'm finally going to get to chase that big number I wanted to see.
How many weeks did you diet down for?
Literally two, and I dropped 8 pounds immediately, and
probably then, just gonna make you look better on the way up.
Yeah, no, nothing will change, and if anything, it was more of a mental thing to, like, because you know how it is when this is what you do, when you commit to something, it's like signing a contract with, you're doing it, and now I'm like, doing what?
Right.
Like,
well, you know, hey man, it's a crazy time. I mean, I think that, you know, for some people, sticking to their prep is helping them through this period.
Oh, for sure.
Because, you know, a lot of people don't have as much structure in the off season as someone like you. Right. So the prep presents a lot more structure for them, which can be, you know, amazing in a kind of a chaotic period of time. So, I'm doing the same thing with my clients too. Just like, you know, week to week, let's just get through this, keep prepping. Cause it's only going to help your physique, you know?
Yeah.
The only time that, you know, like, you know, most of my people at this point, they're 12 weeks out of their show or whatever. So they're still like improving as the prep goes on. They're not just suffering down.
Yeah. There's still so much food and whatnot.
So the physique is still making progress in a muscular way too. Right. So, so that's something to consider. Cause that's a really nice zone to kind of stay in if you can. I mean, if you got to extend that for more weeks, there's nothing wrong with that. 6 more weeks, 8 more weeks of that, you know? Mm-hmm. But as far as the Olympia, I do think we're going to have an Olympia. It might be in October. It might be later. As far as the Rock Show Athleticon, it's supposed to be in November, right? Or was it supposed to be in October?
I think that was October. I think everything will fall back a little if need be.
Yeah.
I don't see him coughing up all that money, nor the guy who just bought the Olympia. So,
I mean, you don't see them like trying, just letting the show not happen.
Yeah, no fucking way.
Yeah.
Because even if they make less, they're going to be profitable. And, you know, in his case, he purchased the name. I mean, you know, 900 grand or whatever went out to buy it. Like, let's get going.
Yeah.
You know?
I know what you mean. You got a, what's a good question you want to kick off on the next one?
Oh God, I got so many. Okay. Here's a good one for prepping. How do you get in that furnace mode where you can eat higher carbs and calories and still get lean? And I know this question, comes off of two things, obviously just seeing it. And I've had a couple clients this year. Both Cole, and this kid, Tommy, that I work with, that's their calories were, I worked with them for a year and a half off season. So they were eating so much that, like, literally at one point I had to email Tommy cause I went back to adjust his diet and I scroll and I find the diet and I pull it up and I'm like, well, this can't be what we're doing right now. So I sent it to him. I'm like, is this what we're doing right now? Because it just seemed like way too much food, bagels and Pop-Tarts and all this shit. And he's like, yeah, that's it. I was like, fuck, okay. Like, you eat more than me.
Yeah.
40 pounds lighter. But anyway, so her question was, how do you get someone's body to that point?
That furnace thing where they can have like crazy amounts of food and still be lean.
Yeah.
I sort of see that as like something that happens when you get lean and diet down and get really lean, because you're always more metabolically efficient when you're, you know, sub 10%.
Right.
Get down, you know, for a guy, you know, pretty lean, like, you know, I have it right now. I can do it. And then when you have like a high carb day, you can consume like an enormous amount of food because you have a crazy appetite, and you feel it just coming off of you, like just radiating off of you all day. Like you're sweating and your heart rate's up, and people sit next to you and they're like, holy fuck, you're hot, you know? Right. And I get that effect when I diet down and get lean and then start implementing really high calorie days.
Right.
That's when I noticed that blast furnace thing. A lot of times, you know how it is. You see a picture of a shredded dude eating a burger, and it's right. Like, yeah, but he didn't have that the day before.
Right.
Or the day before that. Like he went, right. You know, he went 6 days without, you know, many calories, and then he's having a huge high day or something. And that works for me. Mm-hmm. I get lean doing that. You know, it just, you know, like any sort of carb, like you have to have some kind of staggering of your calories, you know, so you don't,
keep the body guessing.
You know, keep the body kind of, yeah, guessing. You don't want to adapt to your caloric intake completely. So having some kind of high day is, you know, a strategy I use with, you know, pretty much everybody. And mm-hmm. For me, I can get that high day pretty big, like, because I'll right. increase it and, you know, and then I'll look at how much weight did I gain the next day. So like right now, I mean, it's a perfect example. I'm doing it for the last several months. You know, I diet pretty much all week. I might have one meal in there somewhere if I feel like my weight drops too quick. And I'll just go by my body weight. Every couple of days, I check my body weight in the morning. And then mm-hmm. on Saturday, I'll eat whatever the fuck I want all day long. I eat tons of carbs right. and have a quarter pizza at night and stuff. And then the next day, I see how much I weigh. And if I'm right. only up like 2 pounds mm-hmm. after eating 1,000 grams of carbs and a large pizza,
right,
that shows you what the metabolism is doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're up 10 pounds, then, you know, your body handled the food differently.
Right.
But I can do that now and only be up like 2 pounds.
Right.
And sometimes I'll even have like another kind of half high day on Sunday
mm-hmm.
just to try to get my weight to go up a little more so that Monday I'm actually up like 4 pounds. And then I have some weight to lose during the week. I go back to my diet. You know, like it's that's how my body is right now. I can manipulate it, and I need to actually gas hard on the weekend to get enough of a jump in the scale so that I can train all week.
Yeah, come back down through that. Yeah, no,
because I like how my diet's set up during the week. I don't really want to food because it's like so easy.
You know? Right. No, that makes sense. See, I think a few things when I'm looking at her question is number one, how you get to prep is oftentimes dependent on how you did your off season. So. Yeah. You know, because I find a lot of people, like a lot of people who want to hire me for a prep, and they come to me at like 16 weeks out. And I'm like, okay, how much cardio are you doing? And they're like, 45 minutes, 7 days a week. And I'm like, okay, how long are you to start that? They're like, year round. I'm like, fuck. Like, how do yeah. I go up from that? You know what I mean? It's or then I look at their diet and I'm like, but you already started your diet. No, this is what I do. I'm like, so you're already almost in a deficit. You're doing too much cardio. Okay, I'm going to get you in shape, but you're going to starve.
Yeah.
You know, and that sucks. And the other thing that I don't think enough, and I know you do, we just didn't discuss it, look at is blood glucose levels.
Right.
Like that is something I'm obsessive with clients. If they're my long-term clients, you know, long before we start a prep, I start looking at that because I want that level. I want that number as low as possible when we start the prep so I know their body's ready. You know what I mean? Because like if their blood glucose levels at 110, they're doing 45 minutes of cardio, and they're not eating a lot of food, it's not time to prep. It's time to fix you so we can have a successful prep.
Because you see the higher glucose reading as their body not burning fuel very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, because you're talking about fasted in the morning. I mean, I've had a couple, I had a lady who I just took over and I was like, I'm looking at everything. I said, let me get that number. She sends me an email the next day. Yeah, 112. I was like, okay. We got to adjust your diet now, not based on results of body fat loss, but on getting that number where it needs to be
right.
so that we can start dieting. You know what I mean?
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, it's a pretty simple thing. And then I think the other thing is people lie their asses off. I see coaches all the time selling the dream, you know, and you know this. I mean, I've had preps where my calories are, and they're never really high. I actually diet on pretty low calories.
Yeah.
But I've had preps where I fucking starved the whole time because that's what it took. Yeah. I've had preps where I've been nervous because the amount of food I'm eating doesn't make me comfortable. I'm not, I'm not suffering, and that scares me because I'm like, and you're seeing the pictures, you're seeing the changes, but you're like, I've had 3 cheeseburgers this week.
Right. I know what you mean.
Sent from Chris. Like that almost makes me more nervous. Hell is like, okay, well, I must be getting in shape because I want to, you know, eat everything in sight. What do you got next?
Hey, what's up, guys? Scott here. I'm going to jump into this episode of It's Just Bodybuilding to shout out our great sponsor. So first of all, thanks for listening. And second, I promise to try to keep this short. Guys, TrueNutrition.com is a company that believes in creating a high-quality product and delivering it to you at a fair price. Everything is third-party tested. They have just about every protein powder there is under the sun. Plus, they have a ton of flavors. You can customize everything. Go to their website and check it out for yourself. Besides their great protein powders, they also have oatmeal blends, health supplements, performance supplements. I use their citrulline malate and their beta-alanine every day that I train. So check out their website. I promise you there's going to be something that you could use, something that you need. And guys, if you shop with them and you use our code ADVICES, it will get you a discount. And plus, it will help to support our programming. I know there's a lot of companies out there with a lot of codes. Well, guys, I can tell you that this directly supports Advices Radio Network and Think Big Bodybuilding Media so that we can keep doing what we're doing. I'm grateful to have a company like True Nutrition that we can believe in, and I'm grateful that True Nutrition believes in us.
Okay, here's a good one. Name three amateurs that you think have amazing potential in the sport of bodybuilding.
Nick Walker.
Well, of course, Nick. I can't believe
he is only an amateur because it hasn't happened yet. He'll be an impact pro right away, which is awesome. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like he's gonna step into shows and be in the top five immediately. Because we got Nick Walker. Who do you think off the top of your head? I'm trying to jump.
Well, I got to give my business partner and friend Steve Didishak a shout out. He's won like. I think
I forget he's not a pro.
I know he's won two or possibly three like pro qualifier classes.
Right.
But then not gotten the pro card. You know what I mean? So like Van Pro, he won his class. And then there was another show. He won his Classic Nationals or something. I can't remember. He's won a bunch of shit, but just misses a card. So he's right there. But yeah, he's a very good bodybuilder.
Yeah,
he's got to put a Canadian name in there.
I think he literally does. If you guys don't know who it is, you know, go check out his Instagram. Like he does look like a pro. Like there's nothing missing.
He
hit the wrong lineup. You know what I mean? He's
bubbly.
He hit the wrong lineup. Okay, so those two. I'm trying to think.
He's got the physique I hate. He's one of those guys I fucking hate. He's got the sleeveless shirt, short physique.
Right.
Big freaky calves, big freaky arms. So like he could let his entire body go to shit and still look good in shorts and a t-shirt.
Right.
You know?
Still win the Olympia in a shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah. He could not train chest, back, or legs for like 2 years. No one would care.
Right. I'm trying to think though. I mean, it's terrible. I think with the introduction of social media, I don't know everybody like I used to. Like when you know, I mean, truthfully, like back in the day, and I'm talking before I was coming up and even after, like I remember going to the USA's years ago and being like Marcus Haley, Troy, like I knew everybody. Like I could give you the top six probably. And I really can't do that as much anymore. You know,
well, it's because there's so many people that have exposure now. You know, we used to be fed amateurs. We were on a very strict diet of amateurs because the only amateurs we would see would be like the one guy that would get a highlight in Flex magazine.
Right.
It would be like Wisconsin State champ, blah, 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 coming at nationals. And you'd see that one guy. So you remembered the name.
Right.
But now it's like you scroll your Instagram and you're just like, awesome amateur, awesome amateur, awesome amateur, awesome amateur, awesome. Like all these fucking guys are freaks. And it's like 100 European names mixed in with Russian names, mixed in with all the Americans. There's just all these fucking freaks out there.
That's true. And I think that's the other thing. It's interesting to see, you know, like I want to start on the show. There's a few guys from the UK I want to bring on, like Josh Malley and things like that, who are obviously a pro. But I'm talking about names that some people don't even know who they are. And it's like if you saw their pictures, you're like, holy fuck.
Josh is a huge guy, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, huge.
Yeah, he's ridiculous. And then, JP posted a guy the other day, and his dimensions were nuts. I don't even remember his name. And I messaged him. I said, that physique is crazy. And he goes, yeah, he's also 6'3". And I was like, what? And he's like, yeah, he's 3'10 in this picture. So then I'm thinking, God, that's in a picture. If he was standing in front of me, I'd be completely blown away, you know? Yeah. And nothing small. I didn't guess he was that tall because his legs were big, his arms were big.
But he looked like a short bodybuilder because he was so thick.
Because he's so mad. Yeah, he goes, I don't know, he's 3'10 or 3'20. And I was like, oh, fuck, man. It's a good thing my career is almost over. These guys just keep coming.
did you see Fouad's interview with Jay Cutler?
I did. I haven't watched the whole thing yet because I only do 20 minutes of cardio. But
so he got Jay back on the show after the technical glitch where he lost the whole thing, right? So he got Jay back on, and Jay said something really interesting. He was talking about back in the day when he was going to the, you know, bouncing around USA's and all that, right?
Lee Priest.
And he told a story about Mike Francois.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, Mike Francois won that show. He was a beast. He'd smoke any amateur today, anybody. He'd smoke them. And I was like, fuck, that's coming from Cutler.
Yeah.
And he just said, like, you know, Mike Francois was a fucking beast. And as an amateur, it was just ungodly.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's sometimes just those guys that just blow everyone away.
Well, he makes me happy too, though, because obviously knowing Chris, he's also one of the most disgusting people, like training wise. Chris told me, like, he said that he tore through training partners.
Yeah. He wore them out and couldn't keep them. He said it was like, Mike Tyson went through sparring partners like Mike Francois went through training partners. That's what Chris told me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And he said that Chris said he followed him around the gym a bunch of times, like just followed him around the gym. Like, you know, watch what you're doing. And he said Mike was like back in the, you know, this is early 90s when not everyone was doing this crazy shit. You weren't around yet doing it. But Mike was the guy who was rack deading 8 plates.
Yeah.
You know, Mike was a guy.
But he was also doing 6 other exercises. That's the other
thing. Yeah, and he was doing the 5-plate bent rows, and he was benching 5 plates, and he was just a fucking monster in the gym. Yep. And you could just see it in his physique. But Francois grew up with, he grew up in a powerlifting gym, right? An Ohio powerlifting gym.
Yep.
So, you know, the guys he grew up around, that was just a standard. Like everyone squatted 500 pounds.
Yeah, but and you know, you said that I think when we were on with Gina, it's so true. Like, once you see it, that is the benchmark. Like, that's normal. Yeah. Like, if I think it was normal, think about how many people now, like, name them that you've seen row 500 pounds. There's a list.
Yeah, like, but like back when Dorian was like,
holy shit. Yeah,
back but it's in a the list day, now. I remember when like Dorian was the only guy rowing 4 plates.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was rowing three and a half. I was rowing 3.5 thinking, fuck, I'm only half a plate behind Dorian.
Right.
You know? And nowadays, times have changed, man. Holy fuck.
You see a guy like Luke doing 500 with flawless
exercise. Yeah, like clean.
Like, it's controlled negatives. I mean, like, holy shit. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I got one more quick one here. We'll fire it off before I go back to you.
Shoot.
Well, actually, I've had two of these. Will we ever see Pekulski on the show?
I'd love to.
I'd have Ben on in a second. I'll ask him.
I dig having, you know what it is? I like being, Ben and I don't agree on everything, obviously. But I love that he has a reason behind everything he does. Like, I'm not one of those people that says my way is right, the end. You could steal things from people or gems that you're like, oh, that works with what I do.
Yeah, and then another thing about Ben is, you know, even if I don't agree with him on something, I'll give him endless credit because he did a lot with a physique that wasn't the best deck of cards.
No.
He got dealt a couple aces, and he got dealt some deuces.
Yep.
And he took it to the Olympia stage a couple times, and he won a few pro shows. And, like, you got to fucking respect that, you know? And, you know, he found a way to do the most with what he had and maximize the fuck out of the things he had, like shoulder width and legs.
And there was so much that sometimes you have to admit for him in some poses, you forgot about the weaknesses because the strengths were so crazy.
Yeah. And he brought his weaknesses up over the years too. Mm-hmm. Like he made enough improvements. It's like where that, you know, when I finally got my calves big enough that people stopped mentioning them.
Right. Yeah. No one said they were big, but no one said they were going to hurt you anymore either.
I'm just kidding. But no, like he did a great job with what he had. He found ways to distract, and he was, you know, good at, you know, hiding flaws. And, you know, he was a really, you know, that's a lot of hard work went into that. And I trained with Ben. I know how hard he trains. And I'd have him on the show. I'll send him a message. I mean, we talked about it when he was here. We talked about doing a podcast together. So he'd be a good guest, you know. For sure. Maybe we'll get some unconventional stories out of him. You know, I know he's in that sort of second phase now where he's very, you know, meditative and thoughtful. Right. And maybe we can get some of the old animal stories out of him. We tend to do that with people.
Yeah. If people only knew some of the things we've had. Do you remember that that flight back from Germany with Jay? The amount of things that we learned that will never make it to the radio.
Yeah, Jay told me some funny stories.
Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
For sure. Okay, so I got some basic ones too. what would you like to see different in bodybuilding? And it wasn't given any direction, so take that where you want.
Well, I'll assume this is pre-crisis.
Yeah, of course. I'd like the gyms to be open.
I'd like my business to be able to function, yeah. What would I like to see different in bodybuilding? I would like to see... I think it's good that they put out the memo about penalizing guys that can't control their abdomens.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was a good move. Not to hold any particular people back, but just to remind them that you got to fucking try to help us out. We're trying to market this.
Right.
I don't want to shit on anybody, cause I get everyone's pursuit and everyone's love of the game. I don't like endlessly just making more divisions.
Right.
And it's nothing against any particular division. And I'm not saying we have to get rid of anything, but maybe we should stop making new divisions because okay, so we've got wellness now. Every time you do a new division, you have to be able to justify to me that there's a difference.
Right.
Right? It can't just be the same physique in a different outfit.
Right.
That's just, you know, that's, I'm like, come on. We're just changing the fucking outfit at this point. So as long as you can justify the difference to me, I'm fine with it.
Right.
Wellness, they have managed to judge to a different standard than bikini or figure.
Right.
And the girls do look different.
Yeah.
But I'm not sure how many more divisions they could pull that off with.
Right. I agree.
Like if you do another division and now this one's going to be between wellness and bikini, like, oh, fuck. Okay. Come on. Like, there's a point where you can't make any smaller slices of the pie. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's
pie.
Go yes. I don't mean to use a pie reference when talking about the female divisions, Dusty.
Love cake.
Although it did. Yes, cake and pie. Cake and pie is my go-to metaphor for discussing women's physique divisions.
No, I get it, though, because I agree. Like, I feel like at the higher level, I mean, when you're at the lower level, it's hard. I mean, everybody's just kind of...
Yeah.
Getting where they need to be. But at the higher level, I feel like someone like you, a pro that you've never seen before, should walk out in her bikini, stand, not even in a pose that gives you the answer, but stand in a way you can see their physique and you to go, she's in wellness. And you need to be able to be right.
Yes.
You know, and I agree with that 100%. And you're right. I think we've filled it. And I think the same with the men's divisions. We got it. Like, it's time. You know what I mean? And on that note, I think one of the things I'd like to change in bodybuilding is, when we were coming up, there was bodybuilding. That was it. Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to be a bodybuilder, you competed as a bodybuilder, even when it meant you're getting your ass kicked for a couple of years as you put on the size. What I don't understand now, and I ask all my clients, someone will reach out to me and they're like, do you think classic or bodybuilding? And they don't really have like a born classic physique. You know what I mean? They're not me and not even fucking close. But I just ask, what do you want to be long term? Right. What is your goal? And if they say bodybuilding, I'm like, then we do bodybuilding now.
Yeah.
We don't like, because the attitude is, but I'll do better in this division. But you don't want to do that. I mean, I would do better at you know, T-ball than I would at baseball. But if I want to play baseball, let's just get right to it and figure it the fuck out.
Right.
You know,
I know what you mean. It's a mental approach too.
Yeah, I just think that you chase what you are trying to get to. You don't say, well, this is easier for now because I want a trophy.
Right. I've been telling most guys who are kind of on that classic bodybuilding fence, I'm like, listen, let me get you ready for the show as a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
And once, you know, the glutes are coming in and, you know, you're getting there, we will look at your weight and where classic is and see where we are. Right. And if we can do both divisions, we can make that happen. Like I had one guy, I was pulling him down last year and realized that he was going to be great at top of light heavy.
Right.
Like top of light heavy, you're going to be really good. And so that's under 198, right?
Yep.
And his height for classic was 197. So that was easy. We'll just do both.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
But if you get him ready for bodybuilding and the glutes are coming and everything, and you know, his classic weight's like another 14 pounds below that. And you're like, well, fuck, do you want to damage your bodybuilding physique to come down and wait if you don't need to, and you're already in shape, blah, blah, blah.
Well, even if that guy turned pro, then you add the 10 pounds that the pros get, he's still over that. So what you're saying is if you turn pro tomorrow, we squeaked you down, you somehow turn pro 14 pounds under where you are today.
Never get any bigger ever.
Which means realistically, when you're that young, you can't get any better.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not going to get noticeably better. And I think that that's a big thing that I don't like. It was always like my complaint with Sean Ray. Sean Ray is phenomenal. But every year I watch, I'm like, oh, I've seen that before.
Right.
Next year, I've seen that. I'm like, let me guess, you're 214? You're always 214. You're actually 204, but whatever. you know, but I think that's part is very, very interesting too. It's like you said, or I don't know if you saw, but I'd love your two cents on this while we're on it. King Kamali put out a thing saying that Patrick Moore should come down to Classic. Patrick's like 30 pounds over Classic.
Oh, I was going to ask, isn't he? He's 235. What's his classic cutoff?
It's, I want to say, I don't remember the exact, but it's like 20 or 30 pounds. I'm like, the dude's peeled inside out.
Oh.
He just needs to get bigger. Like,
right. I see what you mean.
And I mean, it's such a, it's on fucking Generation Iron, which we all know. I can't figure out if those fuckers hate bodybuilding or like it the way that they market it. But, you know, it was just funny to see because I'm like, I mean, yeah, I get it. He's got a pretty frame, but he's not even close. And if he came down, he'd get annihilated as a classic guy.
Right.
He has a pretty frame for a bodybuilder. And if he grows, holy shit. I think the downside is he got such a huge splash last year after the Olympia that everyone gave him they overhyped him.
He wasn't
ready to go kill it at the Arnold. And everyone who knows bodybuilding knew that. And the only reason he was a, quote, disappointment is because people put on, you know, this idea that he was ready. It's like, give him 5 years and he's going to be winning Arnolds.
Right.
You know, I really believe that. It's like, because when you have that frame, it's tougher. It's like, you know, would you rather be, like, here's an example, Hunter, which used to be his training partner. They still train together sometimes. Hunter's going to win right away. And Hunter will beat Patrick now, in my opinion. I don't know that that'll be the case in 5 years.
Right.
If they both keep progressing. You know what I'm saying? Because it's one of those things where, like I always say, if you're 5'4", you'll be a more successful bodybuilder quicker than a guy that's 5'11". But when 5'11 fills out, he's going to beat you.
Right. Yeah. All things given. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, assuming
shape
about,
and structure and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, unless you're just terrible.
So here's a good one. Right off the bat, I'm going to say, I don't think I have an answer for this one because there's too many variables, but it's a good conversation. Top three coaches in the IFBB right now. That comes from my buddy Jaws, IFBB Pro.
So, I mean, the first one for me is obvious, Zacito. And I think here's the way I look at it. Throw away our relationship. Chris takes any physique to its highest level. Like, Chris takes a Sean Roden, who was not winning, to winning pro shows, to top three at the Olympia, to winning an Olympia. Chris takes you or someone like me from where we were to a level that most probably think would never happen. What I love about Chris that I think most people miss is he loves the challenge.
Right.
And I always say Chris is arrogant because he knows he's the best. So he doesn't need to take you if you're just phenomenal. He will take whoever you are and make you better.
Yeah.
You know, so Chris is one. Who else you got?
Well, I mean, I don't even know if I know enough of them to pick top three fairly.
Right.
I mean, I feel like I'm too unaware of how many coaches there are. And
right.
What does it mean to say in the IFBB, like they have one pro that they coach? Because I coach a pro. Or does it mean they have Olympia guys or they're big names or, you know what I mean? And you know, the old LeBron Jordan thing about the rings, you know, you got to have the rings. Who's right. got the most rings? Well, Chad mm-hmm. Nichols and Hani Rambod have the most rings.
Right.
Those two guys have fucking Olympias after Olympias after fucking Olympias, multiple categories over and over. So, mm-hmm. you know, whose name do you say? I mean, you know, Chris is the Gretzky of prep. He's been around since the 80s and he's still right. the king, you know? I mean, but yeah, you got to look at the guys that came through and did the dynasties. I mean,
but then I also look at some of those guys, like, for example, I look at Chad and I try to think of who he brought from nowhere.
Those are all fair. All fair.
And I can't name one.
I can name guys that I can name guys that were trying over and over and then worked with Chad and won.
Right.
I can name a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. But they were, you know, already national top level, like, you know, like a guy like Brian Yerski. Brian right. Yerski banged away at nationals and North Americans for years and years and years and years, worked with Chad 1 year, boom, got his pro card. That's right. just an example. I mean, yeah. I know that was a very tough show and all that, but just one example, you know, there's a lot of those guys or like, you know, some guys were pro and then they were hooked up with Chad and like, you know, got huge like Nasser,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So you got to give them credit for that stuff. But yeah, I know what you mean about taking someone from nowhere. That's a huge skill. And then one of the other litmus tested for who's actually a really good coach is how do their natural people do?
Right.
You know, their natural people win natural shows. And I know that a lot of people don't care about natural shows, but it's just, I think it's valuable. I think right. looking at natural pictures of their natural athletes is valuable.
Oh, I do too. And I think, you know, what you said is true too, is when I'm asked that question, I'm thinking of the ones that everybody knows that are great, that everyone's heard of, that's got the big names. But if you start to think of it now, like, we could sit here and go back and forth with 20 well-known coaches.
There's so many good coaches.
Like, easily. And I can tell you guys that no one on this show has ever heard of that I'm like, no, yeah. he's fucking good. He knows his shit. You know, there's guys that only deal with local people around here.
Yeah.
That are
there's
phenomenal.
Guys that won't do online coaching and they're great prep coaches.
Mm-hmm. You know, or, you know, and I know you know some of these guys that don't coach people, but they take on one or two. And it's like, you know, like I used to laugh when I first hired JJ Marsh, which was for my first big show in 2006, I used to laugh because he's a local guy. He was a pro. And if you were at a show and someone came out sliced out of their fucking mind, you knew he worked with them. You just knew.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was that guy. Like, if their skin was gone, I'm like, that's Jay.
I had someone ask me, they said, hey, Ron, I'm trying to decide between these two coaches, mm-hmm. you know? You know, they had reasons why they wanted to work with either one. Right. And, good relations with both. There was no like weird drama or anything. It was just, they were just trying to decide who they wanted to hire. And I don't know. I just said, who do you think cares the most?
Right.
'Cause like at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're working with, you know, the best coach, if he doesn't really like, someone who cares is very important.
Right.
Assuming they know what they're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the same, some of that part's already handled. Well, plus the other thing is, and you know this, it's who fits your personality.
Yeah. That's kind of along
the
same.
I've had, coming here, I'll just be honest. I've had clients leave me work with someone else and do better. I've had clients leave me, work with someone else, come back. You know, and same. That's why I never worry about what somebody wants to do after the fact, because they got to figure that out. And I tell, I mean, I could literally post it. I have a questionnaire that goes out, and part of it is what I do. And it says right in it, like, I don't chase people. So if you need coddled, if you need somebody to make sure you're eating your meals, not me.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Your goal can't be more important to you or to me than it is to you. It doesn't work that way, you know. And I remember Aceto told me this, and I've stolen it, and it's well-known saying, but he always said, give me 100%, I'll give you 110. Give me 90%, I'll give you zero.
Right. And right. It is true. If you're not giving it 100, it's just kind of pointless.
Yeah, well, especially for – I think you understand this. Yeah, we do it. We make a living at it. But I've gotten rid of many clients because I don't enjoy it.
Right.
They take too much – effort, and I'm fighting, and I'm like, why am I selling you? You hired me. If you're not sure, hire someone else. I don't give a fuck. It's not that much money. Like, you know, let me see here. Okay. I we're going depth for you here.
Okay.
So this one, you might need a second. What is your why for bodybuilding and for life? Two questions.
My Donna. Why?
Get down.
For the why for bodybuilding, well, that would be many thousands of hours on a therapist couch to truly figure out my why for bodybuilding. I guess I initially, like, if I really had to break it down, I like that bodybuilding is so structural and so sort of lifestyle. You know what I mean? Like, it's always with you. I don't know why that was a thing, but I really liked that. It was something I could always focus on. Mm-hmm. And I think I recognized at an early age that I was pretty obsessive.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, like, I remember thinking that, like, I remember people used to tell me that. Like, I remember one time my aunt even said to me, she's like, you know what, when you find something you like, you just go crazy with it. Like,
right.
Unusual, you know, level of commitment and repetition, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I was the type of kid, if I something I liked, I would do it in, you know, I would do it for like 8 hours straight, you know, whether it be trying to learn a single trick on my bike or, you know, you could drop me off at the ski hill at 10 in the morning and pick me up at 10 o'clock at night. I would ski for 12 fucking hours.
Yeah, and you only stop because they forced you to. You have to get off the fucking mountain now.
Yeah, and you know, like, my mom would pick me up from the ski hill, and she'd be like, you know, how many runs did you do today? And I'd be like, I ate twice in 12 hours and probably did 200 runs. You know, like,
I broke the record that I set last time.
Yeah, I do things that way. So that's kind of why bodybuilding. And I guess, you know, I'm seeing the payoff in a way. You know, I know bodybuilding's hard on the body. I got injuries and stuff, but I'm seeing the payoff as I get older, you know, taking care of myself, eating right, being healthy. You know, I know my blood pressure. I know how good my blood pressure is. I know how good my blood work is. Most people walking around have no clue what kind of health they're in.
Yep.
Like, absolutely none. Like, the average person, when's the last time they had blood work? And you know, they've never read their blood work because they don't understand it.
Yeah.
So they don't understand. So I sort of see myself as, like, I have knowledge that other people do not have. I'm aware of what's a lot more of what's going on in my body than a lot of other people.
Right.
And, you know, just sort of, I don't know. I obsess about things. I like the mechanics of training. I like thinking about angles, and I just like all that shit. Mm-hmm. And then I guess the actual workout. I have not found anything else, I guess, that allows me to completely turn off the world to that extent as a good workout.
Right.
So that would be my why. Mm-hmm. My why for life.
That's a big one.
Yeah. Well, I think the meaning of life is to shoulder responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
To try to take on, you know, some heavy responsibility so that you can put work into doing something productive and good that makes you feel rewarded or makes other people's lives better.
Right.
So I think that that's a large part of the meaning of life, is doing some hard work is part of the meaning of life. People that don't have any hard work to do, they're the ones that go the craziest, I think.
Right. No, I mean,
you know, people that don't have responsibility or someone depending on them or something depending on them. You know, that's, you know, that's, I think, part of the meaning of life and the why, you know, I don't know. That's my thing.
No, it totally makes sense. And, I mean, for me, like with bodybuilding, hey, you're ruining my story.
What's your why?
My why is Harvey. I don't know why he's so mad right now, but I'm about to mute you so I can yell at him. Nobody knows that my mouth moves, but you don't hear me.
There we go.
He's going to bark again. But anyways, no. So for me, the structure you nailed, like I'm uncomfortable when things are out of place, let alone life. So doing this, like things that bore other people, like, oh, you eat the same thing every day. Like that's home for me. Mm-hmm. And then actually I saw this quote one time and it resonated to me with what bodybuilding was. It's a Walt Disney quote. And it's kind of fun to do the impossible. And that's how I look at what we do. Like, yeah. We don't look right. Like, you know, what is normal to us, you know, is just not. And when you do something, especially in the gym, because everybody knows, like, I love the fucking training. Like,
yeah,
if there was no shows, the training would still happen. If there was no internet, if nobody knew I was doing it, and I could still have all the information I have now, I would do it.
Yeah.
You know, but there is something about that when you do something and even you kind of go, it's really fucked up that I can do that. And all the time, you know what I mean? So I think that that's the enjoyable part. And then life, it's funny because I always say I've got like the yin and the yang with me. There's the bodybuilding, which I always joke. I say that's like a separate thing from me. And then there's the other side of me, which is, like, I really just believe everyone is energy. Right. It's about vibrations. It's about that kind of, you know, spiritual, not religious at all. So, you know, so it's one of those things where for me, it's about putting something out into the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like you said, and it's not a coincidence that bodybuilding is the platform that allows us to speak about anything, you know, that we want to put out there for people. So I think that's it. Like helping people I've found is actually more fun than doing it for ourselves. You know, I love my before and after pictures, but not as much as I love the fact that I've got hundreds of those for other people.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's kind of interesting that the yin and the yang with me do meet in the middle. And I definitely say my why is definitely like, promoting, I believe that everyone is exceptional at something. And I just don't think most people believe that. I think a lot of people just submit to the fact that I'm an average guy. And I'm like, no, you just haven't found it yet. Or you haven't, no one has convinced you to believe it. So you can have the balls to go for it. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's what separates people. And I think it's also what separates people from being happy is submitting to this is just me. But you're not happy with it, like find it. You know what I mean? Like you've got to have a reason to be here. If not, what's the fucking point every day? You know? So yeah, that was a tough one though. When I read that one, I was like, whew, I'm going to need like 3 days to figure that out. So I'm going to give Ron 20 seconds.
No, my answer was sort of a convoluted mess of, you know, my deepest thoughts mixed with a little Jordan Peterson. So
I love it. Okay, well, let's get some more depth here because this one's big for you. What's your favorite strain of cannabis?
Oh, goodness. I don't know. I'm not a snob. I'm not a fan of falling asleep right away. So like heavy indicas are like kind of, you know, only if I'm trying to go to sleep right away.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm not one of those people that thinks like, you know, those wine snobs are like, oh, this one's oaky and this one's citrusy and this one's like, it's fucking wine. It's fucking grapes. Yeah. I get that cannabinoids do vary a lot. And yeah, I do prefer a sativa or a sativa hybrid, I guess. Mm-hmm. Generally, but you know, at the same time, I'm not one of those, you know.
Yeah, like I don't ask if I'm at someone's house and they're like, oh, hey, you want this? Yeah. I'm like, sure. I'm not like, well, what is it? I don't smell it in. And that's not for me.
I will admit, though, I was at my buddy's house and he had like 20 different strains all open.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably the most variety I've ever had access to smell.
Right.
Because, you know, you walk into a store and there's like all the ones, but you're not like smelling all of them. These were all open right in front of me. So mm-hmm. I like smelt each one. And it's funny, you know, weed smells like
weed. Coffee grounds in between so you could truly smell? You know, you do that with like perfume.
I didn't do that, but I did purposely try to like take a few breaths. I was thinking of cleansing my airway at least.
Right.
But I was really smelling a bunch of them. And it's only when you can like compare, when you kind of really notice like all the difference. Like some of them, there was a few that didn't actually smell like what I would typically consider weed.
Right.
They just had like really unique smells. Mm-hmm. One kind of smelled like, I don't know, it was like lemons and dirt. It was really weird. And then one had a mint, had a mint smell to it. So right. I get that there's different flavors and shit, but you know, at the same time, I'm just like, come on.
Yeah. I like the pre-wrap banana because it's already done and I'm lazy and it's banana. like it's like truly, cause I read that question. I was like, oh, that's way too deep for me, to be honest, right. Because
it's
fine. They're all fine.
I'd say my main thing is I just don't want to fall asleep right away.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's funny too, is I didn't even realize, cause I go through spurts. I'll smoke every day for a month. And then I just won't buy any for like 2 months.
And I'm like, yeah, I know.
Oh, it's funny because, I mean, when you talk about it enough, people just assume that you're like a connoisseur. I'm like, oh, God, no. Right. Go through moments and then come back. And it's hedged by nothing. Like, it's not life. Right. It's like, oh, I haven't done that in a minute. Or yeah, I'm tired of doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What do you got? You got anything else?
Oh, yeah. So
I know you got a ton.
I've got lots of training questions. This one's a good one. It's back to the kind of the coaches though. Do you want to do another coaches question?
As long as we're not having to like hammer on anybody, sure.
It's how do you feel about people who have separate coaches for diet and training?
Oh, I had that same question. That's funny. Well, I can answer it because I have a few relationships with guys that do it.
Yeah,
okay. Like I write a lot of Chris Tuttle's clients training. Because he doesn't write training.
Right.
And so here's the funny part. I shouldn't say only, but currently he's the only coach I do that for. And the reason is I love how he preps people.
Right. Okay.
He and I see, I mean, literally why, you know, because I've had people, part of my check-ins are, I need to know what you're eating, what your drugs are, all that stuff. I'm not going to comment on it because it's not my fucking place. And obviously Chris knows I don't touch his clients and I don't even mention, doesn't matter.
Better not be touching anybody.
You know, but I need to know. Well, he was super handsome, especially now, 6 feet, 6 feet.
6 feet. No touching.
But, it's good, but I have found I still prefer to have control of everything. And the reason isn't because I can do what he's doing better. It's because I don't feel like I'm doing what I do as well without being able to control it all.
I know what you mean.
You know, so I'm more selective than I used to be with that. I had a bunch of them for a while, but I kind of felt like I always feel like I want to make sure when we're done working or even in the middle, I want them to look at their investment and be like, I'm ripping him off.
Right.
Like I want them to feel like they're getting way too much for the money. Cause they're not. Like I've chose my prices on what I believe the time is worth.
Right. Right.
And that's why my prices haven't changed in 7 years. Right. But yeah, I mean, that's it. And I guess for me, realistically, you have to be a really high level athlete for me to feel like my training is worth the additional expense. And you're missing something, you know, cause I really want to say,
yeah,
just fuck with some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You already know how to train hard. So do a little this, a little that, and figure out what you like, and then do your thing.
When it comes to training, yeah, I know what you mean. When it comes to training, I mean, I really like the concept of people figuring a lot of it out themselves to a degree, but I want to point them in the right direction with at least like a base program to emphasize intensity. We've talked about this, you know, endlessly. So I'll send them a program and I'll edit it for them, you know, like let's say, you know, this injury, that injury, you know, surgery on my shoulder, blah, blah, blah. I'll edit the program for them, but I want them to focus on level of effort exerted. That's the main thing. No matter what the rep range is or the exercise, it's about maximum effort. And then from there, it just becomes like kind of a, you know, it starts breathing on its own. And, you know, they tell me they hate this exercise because their hip hurts. And I'm like, okay, fuck them. Let's not do them anymore. And then it just, the program just morphs into something completely, you know, different. I don't really work with anyone as far as like, you know, where I do their diet and someone else does their training, unless you count the fact that like several of my clients are like, I have a bunch of John Meadows programs I really like. And I'm like, good, do those. They're awesome.
Yeah, I didn't look at them. I know they're awesome and that'll be fine.
You like Meadows stuff? And they're like, yeah, I really like his workouts. You know, my shoulders don't hurt and I fucking get great. I feel like I made improvements. I'm like, oh, let's just roll with the Meadows program for now. Here's your diet.
Right.
And we just go from there. So kind of inadvertently working with Meadows.
Right. No, I, it's funny that this question came up because I had somebody ask in my videos I put up yesterday, a guy asked, he said, I'm sorry, I missed it. What converted you to training this way? And I did Gina's training program she talked about. We discussed this. I was like, oh, nothing. I had her on the show. It sounded like complete hell. So I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And fortunately, I'm in an empty gym, which means I can occupy five pieces of equipment and not worry about it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it was funny, though, because like I appreciated the question because I understood because it's like, whoa, that's so different than how you train. And of course, number one, it was a great workout. Number two, you know damn well if you go from one end of the spectrum to the other, I was fucked up. Yeah, I was sore for 5 days. I actually trained legs again yesterday. I walked in, they were still sore. But it's funny. I'm like, yeah, I'm doing it.
Yeah, changing things up. Last week, Braden and I did some box squats.
Right. God, I haven't done those and in
like,
years.
So I box squatted twice in my life. Once was with Mark Bell about 2 months ago.
And then once was last week.
And my adductors, we didn't go to failure on them or anything. Like I just did perfect sets of five, I think. Right. But the next day, my adductors were so fucked up. Because, like, you know, a wide stance box squat, you know, I don't normally do them. So sometimes just mixing things up, you know, I like when people ask me, why are you doing that? And about 50% of the time at this point, the answer is fun. It's fun.
Right. Yeah. I like doing this.
Fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
No, I hear you. I actually have to the point now where I think my strength is in a dangerous place now.
Yeah. Well,
so
I've
actually had to like start thinking of like, how can I make this so I'm too tired to do that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Pre-exhaust apps or faster pace. Like, and it's true. You have been telling me that for a while, but, I've had a couple injuries and I'm like, okay, then I look back and it's like at my age, the strength is jumping enormously still. And it's like, I'm a bodybuilder.
Right.
Enough. Like, you know, I think 505 is enough for Rose. We don't need to shoot for 530. I think it's time to say, I wonder if we can make 450 really fucking brutal.
Yeah. Yeah. No, your poundages are elite level and, you know,
but I think they've reached a point where, and this is why it's tricky because I tell my clients that I still have them chasing because I believe in it. But I do think you reach a point where your risk to reward starts to way go in the other direction.
Yeah. You know, I mean, this is just Dorian's hindsight 101.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
I'm spitting it like it's new information, but it's true. That's right. It's exactly what it is. He looked back and said,
because it's true.
I was doing the same all to my shows, beating numbers 2 weeks out.
I remember Dorian said that he knew things were getting out of control when he was doing leg extensions. And he was so explosive that the machine was moving on the floor. And he had the full stack. He had the full stack with a plate on it.
Plus his 270-pound body.
And yeah, and he's doing such explosive extensions that it was the machine was like jumping, itching forward as he was doing them.
Right.
And he said, like, he was like, oh, that's like a lot of explosive power. There might be like, that might not be necessary. Yeah, that might be a little bit.
You gotta love the way the brain works. Like, maybe that's not necessity.
I've never seen that before. I've never seen anyone.
The only person on the planet who can do it. So maybe it's a little much.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's funny. I got one for you.
Yes.
It's, people like hearing about us talk about the regular shit. They're asking us, what are we watching on lockdown?
Oh, man. So.
Let's do movies first. Do you have any movies you're hitting?
You know what, man? What the fuck did I just watch?
Or are you TV series only?
Truthfully, this is really bad. So because of what's going on right now, I've been too busy to watch TV.
Like, everyone else is at home watching shit, and all the self-employed people, they're scrambling their fucking asses off.
And I'm happy because it's like, you know as well as I do, like when this whole thing went down, and I know it's still going down, I was like, oh shit, this is going to hurt. But because I'm literally 90% of my clients are training out of a home gym now. So I'm literally writing everyone's routines from scratch. And then we're doing feedback where it's like, oh, hey, by the time I get to this, my low back was smoked or this. So then I'm changing it again. And when I have a lot of clients, it's a lot. Like, to the point where I've even had to tell people, hey, I know it's usually a 24-hour turnaround. I'm going to get this tomorrow. Like, I'm done. I can't.
I still have a few programs to do that. Basically, there's a couple guys that didn't have hardly anything, but they were kind of like trying to sort some shit out. So I was like, okay, do what you can this week and we'll talk next week and see where you're at. You know, like, they're seeing if they can get a squat rack or seeing if they can get this or that. You know what I mean? So there's been like, so I got some calls today with some people that, hopefully they're in a bit more of a better spot than they were last week for being able to do something at home.
I'm running TRX programs, dude.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you have access to nothing? Can you get a TRX? I can fuck you up.
Yeah. I told a few guys to look at a TRX, and my one client just bought a set of dumbbells that go up to 70 for his house. So I got to get him a program now that I know he's got those. And then another, my one coach who, or my one client who's a firefighter, he can only use the hall gym when he's working. So he's 4 days on, 4 days off.
Right.
And he's like, fuck, So I was like, what do you have room for? And he found one of those Smith machine squat rack double pulley combos.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And he's like, just bought it. It's on its way. Okay, fuck, here we're in business. So, because he's prepping for a show. He's prepping for later on shows, right? So he's got to get going. So we could figure that out. But yeah, it's a challenge for everyone. But so
what shows or movies are you watching? Because now I'm just stealing ideas for when this ever slows down.
So Emily and I just finished Ozark season 3.
Right.
It's just such an awesome show.
I only watched the first season. I haven't watched anything since. Oh.
Jesus.
And everyone's telling me to jump in there.
It's just gotten so crazy. Like, they get in, it just gets so, you don't get out with those guys. You know what I mean? Like, when you're in with the Mexican cartels, it doesn't, there's no up.
Yeah.
It's just in.
Yeah.
You know?
There sure as fuck isn't an out. Yeah.
No, man. There's no out. And so that's an awesome series. I have to get back to watching The Expanse. I'm near the end of season 2, but I just got pulled away. And I've got one more episode of Picard. I haven't watched the final episode of Picard yet, but I'm really enjoying that series. And
what is that? I don't even know what
that is. That's the Star Trek.
Oh.
With,
as soon as I asked, I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah. With Patrick Stewart, but it's one season, 10 episodes. Right. But it's been a real trip down memory lane. Cause almost every episode has had an old Star Trek cast member reappear.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, from the '80s, boom, boom, boom. You know what I mean? So it's been fun. But as far as movies, we watched Knives Out the other night.
Yes.
Have you seen Knives Out?
Yes.
That was so, like, I like a fun movie.
Right.
You know what I mean? Especially right now, you know, there's like,
you I need to escape.
Yeah, you know, and it was just a great cast, great script. You know, it's kind of like Clue in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a kind of a wacky murder mystery with a crazy family. You know, every member of the family's all fucking different and weird.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
And the cast gets to really overact and do a great job. And but it was just fun. Like, you know, I think we smiled through the whole thing. It was one of those movies. Like, oh,
yeah, no, that was a great movie.
It's just one of those. I don't know. I felt like I really enjoyed Knives Out.
Right. Well, that's the other thing is when you're in a movie like that, you really realize that a good director and good actors, if you think about it, when you go to a movie, and it's funny because I was just watching a thing about this, you're kind of agreeing to hand someone your brain for a couple hours.
Yeah.
And if they're good, they take you to different areas of your brain throughout the movie, and you're letting it happen. And that's why I'm one of those people that I love movies because I'm in it. Like, I'll forget you're sitting next to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm in the movie. So it's like when you've got someone who really puts one together like that movie, you're in it. You find yourself trying to figure it out during the movie. What the fuck's going on? You know what I mean? Or when this person's about to get caught, you know, like in that movie. It was very, I don't know. I'm into those things because I'm not talented at it. I love watching other people's talent and just being like, you know, or like a writer, you know, like, you know, the movie Saw, the series Saw. Yeah. I always feel like the guy who wrote that should probably be arrested. Like, your brain shouldn't go there. Like, it's not really safe for you to be out and about with the rest of us. Because I don't think you see the same things I see driving down the road in Scottsdale. I'm like, beautiful trees. Like, I wonder if I can hang someone from that.
What the fuck?
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. It definitely is a trip into somebody's psyche when you see the final fruit of their thoughts.
Yeah. Because mine just ends up being carrot cake. And they're like, oh, that's not that exciting. But like, yeah, that's what I've been thinking about the whole time.
It was interesting. I saw an interview the other day. I was just flipping through podcasts. And it was the guy that wrote American Psycho.
Yeah.
Like, the guy that wrote the book.
Yeah.
And he was telling the story of how he had a hard time getting the book published. Because, you know, it was almost published. And then these people came in and protested it, saying it was too violent and all this stuff and disturbing. And so the publishing company dropped it, and it took him another 6 months to get someone else to print it. And then, of course, you know, it got turned into that, you know, kind of cult hit movie with Christian Bale in it. But
I saw the movie before I read the book.
Oh, you read the book too. Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, I went back.
Really good. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's always true, man. It is always true. If I like to read, so if you like to read, when you go read the book, you're like, it's better.
Yeah, you know, it's
take
longer.
You further because they can. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're not on a 2-hour time limit.
Exactly. Or 5 hours these days.
Yeah.
Very accurate. Here's another one that I think I know the answer of yours to. Who is your favorite stand-up comic?
Oh, I'd say right now, I'd say it's Bill Burr.
Right.
Yeah, I'd say Bill Burr is my favorite stand-up comic. I really like Rogan stand-up.
Yes.
And I'm not a Rogan fan bandwagon guy. I was a Rogan fan way before, when he was on news radio.
Before Fear Factor.
So I was a fan of news radio, and I remember the character Joe Gorelli that Rogan played. Mm-hmm. He was that conspiracy theory handyman. And I remember, for some reason, I knew that he was a stand-up.
Right.
And I was aware of his stand-up comedy somehow. Like, you know what I mean? And then I remember in the early days of the internet, I saw some like old videos, you know, when you had to post like a QuickTime video or a fucking
right.
You had to download a fucking a plug-in to play a video.
Yeah.
Saw some like handy cam of his stand up back then and stuff. So I was aware of that, and so I knew about Rogan before Fear Factor and UFC. But his specials, the ones that are on Netflix, are all hilarious. Right. And one of the best specials on Netflix is Ricky Gervais' last one called Humanity.
Yes, I've seen it.
It's just he's an awesome comic and an awesome writer. And so, yeah, I'd say Bill Burr, Rogan, Gervais, those guys are powerhouses. And just the other day, my buddy Garrett sent me the link for to download Louis C.K.'s new special.
Really?
Did you see this?
I haven't seen it.
He's got a new video download. He's doing it himself. I got the link right there. Oh, shit. $7.99. It's called Sincerely, Louis C.K. So I'm going to download that and watch it on my Apple TV this week.
You know, funny you ask. I'm actually pretty loaded for this question.
Yeah. But anyone that wants to, if you want to get Bill Burr, go on Netflix, start with his, look up his specials so you know the years. Start with the first one and watch them all. Because they're all connected. If you watch the very first one, he's talking about how his girlfriend wants a dog.
Yep.
You know, and you watch the second one, they get a dog. You watch the third one and they train the dog. And then you watch his last one and they had to give the dog up. He's like, you had to give the dog up. You know, it's kind of crazy and we're having a kid and it's blah, blah, blah. You know, they have a baby now and they have this crazy pit bull and it doesn't listen. And so it's funny because they're all connected because all of his comedy comes from his life, you know?
Right. Which is why it's the best stuff. Those are always the best comics, are the ones who let you in.
He's personally invested in the anger. The rage is real.
Yeah, no, I love watching. That's the one thing I think that you can't beat. Listening to comedy is one thing. Watching it is another. Because delivery, when you've got delivery and voice, it's one thing. But when you can also see it and see expressions, I feel like the guys, you know what I mean? Guys that you can watch that, I can't remember his last name, Sebastian.
Oh, Manichesto.
Yes. I fucking love watching that guy's stand-up.
He's funny.
It's unreal to watch. And I think because I relate to a lot of the things he says.
He's done a bunch of acting too.
Has he? Yeah.
So you see him in a bunch of movies where he's he'll be in a big Italian family.
Right.
And he'll be the older brother or something. You know what I mean? He does a lot of movies.
Oh yeah. He kills me. That guy, I just actually found him last year on a special. I just happened to be looking for comedy bored out of my mind one night and watched one of his. And I was like, who the fuck is this? Where did this come from?
Another one, I just watched this last week, but this Ronnie Cheng
guy.
Have you seen that Netflix special? It's called his special is funny. It's called Asian Comedian Destroys American. And it's Ronnie Cheng is his name. So go to Netflix and watch the Ronnie Cheng comedy special. It's so funny, man. It's funny because he's Asian, so he goes really hard into the race stuff.
Right, of course.
So he's hilarious.
You're allowed,
so he's
right?
Hilarious. Yeah, it's pretty funny. And you know, he does a lot of jokes that made me laugh out loud. So it's worth it. That's a good special too.
Oh, see, I love these. That's why I'm glad when people ask these questions, it's good because I actually go back and see what I need to watch. I'm like, well, I haven't seen that.
Okay. So are you training today, Dusty?
I am. Yeah, because my schedule got all messed up. So I'm training this afternoon, and we're gonna have some fun. I actually had another mild tear. I say mild because I don't even know when it happened. So I'm kind of waiting that out a little bit. So I can't do any pulling currently.
Oh,
I'm gonna show
you. Feel it?
Right there where that bruise is. No pain, no nothing. I have no idea what happened. I'm going to pop in and my guy's going to do a little PRP in there just to speed up whatever's going on. And that's it. It's terrible that I have that.
Do you think it's bicep or tricep?
I think it's brachialis, actually. And I know that's backwards because of where I just pointed, but you know, that's where it connects.
Yeah.
So well, I think it's actually. Through. Yeah. So, it's on both sides, obviously.
Yeah, it's also there. Oh, okay. I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah. So, but this is where it got real dark. And, of course, this came second. just from gravity, obviously, but no pain, no nothing. I'm still pressing like crazy. So the only thing I altered was I was like, okay, I'm just not going to do back for a couple of weeks because why?
Bicep for a bit. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but everything else is solid. And it's the one body part. I've actually done this before where I didn't, when I was working specifically to bring up my legs a bunch, I didn't train back for months.
Yeah.
And it changed. And then literally 6 weeks later, it was back to normal as soon as I started training.
Yeah.
Like your body parts that are yours just bounce back up. So,
you know, I'm telling everyone, don't set any PRs right now because the hospitals are busy.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, don't. Let's all do 10 rep sets. Let's.
It's time to go to the Joe Weider blood volume principle.
The old school pyramid. Yeah.
No shit. Oh, it's accurate as hell right there.
Well, we did 90 minutes, buddy.
Hey, well, everybody gets 3 cardio sessions, or in my case, like 5, and you're good to go.
Okay. We will be back. We're going to get a guest on for next week. We've got a few people we can talk to still to line one up. So we will get on that. We'll make it happen. Everyone, keep your sanity. Stay positive. Any other final words?
That's it, man. I think, truthfully, you did nail it. It's just, stay positive on everything. It's going to bleed into to every aspect of life, and especially with it down. And look at all the people who are, I mean, I'm stoked on people that are making improvements, man, that don't have some of the good fortune of us do. So if you're committed, like we've talked about every single week, this is a time to separate yourself because a lot of people are falling asleep at the wheel. So if you're someone who's serious about your craft, do it when most people won't. It'll show. It might show in a year, 6 months, whenever you're on stage, but it'll show.
And also, for those of you that are missing your gym porn, Mutant on a Mission starts this week. Season 6. New episode. We got a couple episodes filmed before the crisis started, so we have a couple episodes to drip out over the next few months, and then when I can get back on the road, the season will continue. I'm wearing the Max Out Muscle hoodie because that's episode 1. So
nice.
Episode 1, got to support Morgan, and we'll get that out to you this week. So check the Mutant YouTube channel for Mutant on a Mission. It is coming.
Yes, sir. You know, I watch them all, so I'm in.
Yeah. And of course, our promo code's Dusty. Dusty20. Big Ron 20.
IamMutant.com.
There you go. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll see you next week. Remember, it's just bodybuilding.